Who are you?
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers. There are jewelry stores, then there's Zadok's. KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston. To the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5. Sweats of the day. We forgot to make a sweat of the day yesterday, Joe.
Wow.
Ooh. We called him out, bro.
He did?
I forget how far behind you guys are in the studio.
Is that why you were yelling at the team? He's out, isn't
he? Yeah, I was mad because Jordan got called out.
Is he out?
They're still reviewing it right now.
I mean, that doesn't look like it's going to be overturned.
His foot's on the bag.
How can you tell?
But the other angle, it looked like
his toe touches it.
Yeah.
But
just the tip?
Yeah, it's just the tip. But I can't tell if it comes off, though.
That's such a bad out if he's out. But it's hard to be mad at him because he's the best hitter on the planet.
Yeah.
Not the best runner on the planet, the best hitter on the planet. If he's out there, I mean, he called him out on the field. That's going to be one of those stands.
That's going to be hard to overturn that.
The spot is yelling at somebody on the field, so I think it stood.
Oh, he is on the bag. But does he come off? I think he comes off.
Yeah, there's like a little skip there.
That's bad, man.
Why doesn't he just slide?
Because he's a big dude.
It's Jordan Alvarez.
Yeah. Is that a Jordan rule?
Well, Jordan, I don't know.
He slid the other day.
He beats by the sound of his own drum.
Oh, that slide home? That was pretty awkward.
It was so awkward, that slide.
I think he got ejected.
Good.
Yeah, you can't argue a review. Like, it's one of the things. Like, the moment you come out and you question a review, you're thrown out of the game.
Show some fire, Joe.
Yeah, Astros are losing in extra innings. The tying run would have been Jordan at second base, and he got thrown out. That's a bad out. Probably should have been running harder.
Yes. Well, that's like sometimes station to station would be good for him. He's just not fast.
But I think he was coasting around the bat. I don't know.
It looked like he was coasting.
It looked like he was coasting a bit. Thought it was an easy double. Not great. What a losable game this was, too. We'll talk about it in a minute.
So what were our sweats of the day?
So we didn't make a sweat of the day yesterday because we forgot. We lost a tennis sweat of the day on Monday.
Yeah, which I don't think we ever gave the result of that on the air.
It didn't matter. We lost it.
Okay.
I mean, we could lie and say we didn't, but we don't do that on this show. So we're down a unit on the week. And on the year, we're up 5.3 units.
Okay.
Today, we're on four games that none look great. We're on Houston minus a run and a half, which was great until Jesus Sanchez decided to hit right-handed pitching, which some people never thought he could do. We're on the Cubs, Dodgers under 10, which
lost
that one because the Dodgers put up some runs against that Cubby bullpen. We're on the Rays, Rockies under 11.5, which how does that look?
I haven't looked at that one.
6-0. Oh, no, it's 3-0, top of the seventh. So that one looks okay, knock on wood. And then we're also on the Rangers, Giants over 8 runs, 6-0, Texas after 8. So we need some runs from the Giants in the top
of the
ninth.
That's a sweat. Yeah, that's a sweat.
Which doesn't sound great. So that's what we're on today.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Buffalo Bills out of Super Bowl contendership.
Okay. Why?
Because of this 30-second soundbite from one of their linemen, Alec Anderson. Because the Bills have a new coach.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills have a new coach. Joe Brady's the new head coach of the Buffalo Bills. And you know what I like from my coaches? I like authority. I like power. I like culture. I like, you know, standards. I like, you know, the coaches coaching up the players and being, you know, trying to get the most out of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really love if I were a Buffalo Bill fan, and this is what Alec Anderson had to say about my new head coach.
The vibe with Coach Brady is young and fresh, I think. You know, I think he's coming in with this young energy, just like a different insight. It's kind of like having your uncle come over, and he's a little bit younger than the older brother, and you know you're just going to have a good time. He's single. Not that Joe Brady's single, but like you know you're going to be able to go out, get some ice cream, really do stuff that your parents wouldn't really allow you to do, and I think that's kind of the fun aspect that we're going to have. I think he's embracing everybody exactly for who they are and what they want to be, and I think that's going to drive the team a lot.
The Buffalo Bills have hired an offensive coordinator who is a cool uncle.
Who's buying ice cream?
Who's a cool uncle that you don't want to be your parent. Because yeah. He's not going to make you a good man. He's not going to make you a good woman.
I don't like that at all.
I'm out on Buffalo. This is going to this is.
I wanted to like hear this and be Buffalo. Like, no, Jeremy, you're wrong.
Out on Buffalo.
That's a wild quote.
Out on Buffalo.
Isn't that sometimes the concern about hiring a really young coach? Is he's just not going to be able to be the authority to veterans in the room?
It kind of feels like, you know, what we saw with maybe Mike McDaniel a little bit eventually in Miami, where guys didn't show up on time. They didn't really respect his authority as the coach, like you said, BMAC. And maybe that's some early tells of that could be in Joe Brady and company's future as well. But, hey, they're going to get ice cream.
They're going to get ice cream. You know, the kindergartners should not be able to pick their teacher, you know?
No.
Like, you want a teacher who's going to teach you, who's going to help guide you, who's going to be very instrumental in your development and your growth, right? You know, you shouldn't pick your teacher as an elementary student, as a kindergartner. This is what's going on here. Buffalo got to pick their kindergarten teacher. That's not going to be in those tough moments when you need this leader of men, when you need somebody who's swarmy. When you need a Mike McDonald type, when you need a Belichick type, you're just going to get, oh, you can go do whatever you want. We can run away from these tough moments if you don't want to do it. That's not – I hate that. I hate everything about it. Because I think in sports we overrate, like, offensive wizard, defensive wizard. And I think we underrate leadership.
Yeah.
I think we under – especially in football, man. Especially in football when times are going to be hard and it's a physical sport. And a lot of times it's not fun at all. You need that coach and that coaching staff that pushes you, gets the absolute most out of you. That's kind of a jerk that you don't really love to be around a whole lot because you know he's going to push you whenever you don't want to be pushed.
Yeah, you really don't want like a buddy-buddy.
They got a pushover as their head coach.
Yeah.
Out on Buffalo. Joe Brady's going to be there 2 years and get fired. Out on him. Out. They go from Sean McDermott, who is the hardo of hardos.
Yeah, that's why
who is such a hardo. He's controversial.
See, that's why I think it can work the first year.
No chance.
Because it can be so refreshing, but eventually it plays out the way you're saying.
They might win a lot of regular season games because they're so good.
Yeah.
They might go 13-4, but they're going to have a divisional round ouster at home to a team that they shouldn't lose to. I see the writing on the wall already. You don't have good leadership in football, you are toast. You are done. Cowboys kind of did it with Switzer, but that was a team that was already a champion.
They were already
a champion. They knew what it took. They were policing themselves.
Yeah, unfortunately,
this
I think
is
I
a
have
team
to,
that's never even been there.
I have to agree with you, I think.
It's sad.
I don't want to.
I'm so happy I'm not a Buffalo Bill fan right now.
But that's comical.
Junkie says I'm an elementary behavior coach. Dead on explanation. See, I'm getting co-signed by a behavior coach. That's how great this take is. This might be the greatest take I've ever had. Some are saying
Boom,
it
there
is.
There we go. Jeremy Branham's
right. Some
are
saying
right.
It's the greatest take that Branham's ever had. An elementary behavior coach is saying how great of a take it is. It's over in Buffalo.
But they got the ice cream party.
I'm higher on Justin Herbert having his hair played with by his fiance.
Ow. Yeah, that's another one.
No, quarterbacks need their hair massage.
Not on the field during training camp.
I'm higher on the Chargers than I am. That of the things that we saw recently, Justin Herbert, not that I want to see that from my quarterback.
That looked like an 0-3 quarterback in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. They did a little bit.
Yeah.
Did a little bit.
I think this is a great way to cross teams off our Super Bowl list.
Buffalo's done.
Buffalo out.
I'm shorting
Chargers
Buffalo.
Chargers out.
Shorting Buffalo. I'm out on Buffalo because of this.
Helps the Texans. We should celebrate.
They got a cool uncle whenever they need a father.
Now, to be fair.
The Buffalo Bills are fatherless is what it is.
If we were in a different city.
We would say the same thing about CJ.
We'd say CJ Stroud walk.
Yeah,
out.
That's fair.
We kind of have.
Yeah, we kind of have.
But like it'd be like, all right, CJ, outfit,
fair.
He's out. Herbert out. Ice cream party. Buffalo out.
Sounds like a good time in Buffalo, though.
It sounds like
a
great
time.
Yeah.
It'd be great. They're not going to do meaningful winning. They're going to win a lot of regular season games. Everybody's going to be kumbaya. They're going to enjoy Buffalo wings.
And then they're
going to be beat by the Denver Broncos in the divisional round at home.
That's
what's
going
to happen. Did he get signed today?
Not yet, but he's going to, and I can't wait.
Stephon Diggs got signed today.
Yeah, Commanders.
He's a Commander.
That's a good fit for them.
Yeah, I like that three-headed monster.
Yeah, they needed a second receiver.
I mean, they have Treylon Burks. Don't sleep on Treylon Burks.
I sleep on Treylon
Burks.
Rams
put out a workout today, too, that happened.
Who'd they work out?
Aaron Donald.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he just doesn't want to do camp yet.
Yeah, just officially he's not worked out for the Rams.
Aaron Donald will be there when Aaron Donald
wants to be
there. Yeah,
he's going to be there
week one. It's a very funny list because it's like all the workouts across the league in Las Vegas is some guy named Chris Pierce. Don't know who he is. Tight end from Vanderbilt. Jermaine Terry, tight end from Oregon State.
Who the f*** is that
guy?
No idea.
Los Angeles Rams, Aaron Donald. Like it's a bunch of nobodies. And then,
Aaron Donald.
And Aaron Donald. For tryouts.
Yeah, but Bills are toast. They're done. It's over for them.
Who else can we cross off our list?
I'm not crossing off the Chargers.
I'm crossing off.
I'm out.
Quarterbacks need to be like divas. No. Like they need a little bit of, you know, love from time to time.
I've never seen a quarterback have a picnic on the grass of a practice field with his influencer girlfriend.
I mean, Tom Brady doesn't have like incredible macho characteristics.
Yeah, but she ain't. Giselle wasn't there.
I mean, Tom Brady kisses his 13-year-old son on the lips.
Yeah, but that was happening after he'd already won Super Bowls.
Tom Brady gets a pass.
I don't know. I mean, Tom Brady is not the most manly guy in the world.
No, but Justin Herbert doesn't have a playoff win yet. And he's at camp.
I'm not crossing off Herbert because he got his hair played with. I'm not crossing off Herbert.
They went from blowing, 28-point lead against Jacksonville to throwing 4 interceptions against the Texans to scoring 3 points in New England.
That is more of a reason to cross off Justin Herbert, but not because he had his hair played.
I'm just saying it matches with what I've seen in the playoffs, is what I'm saying. I'm correlating
here. Cam Newton has some feminine characteristics.
He does, like not going after a fumble in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. That's when we cross them off our list of a Super Bowl champion.
It's not going to happen.
Peyton Manning was kind of a guy's guy.
Yeah, he's a guy's guy.
Budweiser.
Peyton Manning's guys. Who are the last few Super Bowl winners? Stafford? What about Stafford?
I think he's kind of in the middle.
I think he's fine, I guess. I never really thought of a non-manly thing from him.
He's a Southern guy.
Is he from Georgia. I mean, is he from Georgia or did he go to Georgia?
No. He's from Texas.
Yeah, that's right.
He's from the Dallas area.
Yeah, Highland Park, I think. I think he's from Highland Park. That's not the manliest.
Fair. He's a rich kid.
Highland Park's not the manliest thing. Now, it's not the same as having your hair played with. I will give you that.
And you got 2 Hall of Famers from the same.
Sam Darnold? How manly is Sam Darnold?
Not that manly.
No.
He had mono.
Jalen, do men not get mono?
Well, no. I
Is that the kissing disease? Being a man.
It's the graphic. It just looks non-manly.
I think you get mono when you kiss.
Yeah. Herbert better watch out.
Jalen Hurts, manly?
Yeah, he's manly.
Yeah, I think he's super manly. Mahomes?
For sure.
I think he's manly. Yeah,
he talks
Stafford,
like a frog, but yeah.
We already talked about Brady. We talked about him, Mahomes. Big Nick.
Yes.
Foles.
He's a man.
Yeah, you got to be a manly quarterback.
I don't think you have to be a manly quarterback. You just can't be sitting on the field.
Who's the most recent non-manly Super Bowl winning quarterback?
Russ?
I think Russ is pretty manly.
He's just weird. Yeah.
I think he's manly.
Because his unlimited video, like he's with Sierra.
Yeah.
Like,
that does give him some points.
It does, like, it does.
I think
like,
it's Brady. I think it's Brady.
Probably Brady.
I think Brady's, like, of recent quarterbacks, is the most non-manly quarterback.
But he won, like, 3
won the
Super
most
Bowls
of
before he was doing things that we would call it.
That we know of. Yeah. We don't know a whole lot of stuff about backup quarterbacks in college football and third-string NFL quarterbacks. He wasn't on the scene yet.
Yeah, but we didn't hear anything about eating, like, avocado ice cream or any of that stuff before. And he'd already won Super Bowls.
Sure, but that's because we just weren't hearing from Brady, though. I think Brady was always kind of weird.
By the 3rd Super Bowl, we were hearing from him.
I mean, you see Brady with a shirtless 40 and go, that's a man.
No.
You know?
I saw him party in Tampa. That looked like a man.
I just don't think she should be a kid.
That was after
like
he won Super Bowls. You just talked about how we didn't hear these things before Super Bowls, so you just discredited yourself.
How?
Because you said we didn't hear about any of this weird stuff until after he won Super Bowls, and then your biggest man card that you can play on Tom Brady's after he won all these Super Bowls.
Well, you're pointing out post-Super Bowl, I'm pointing out post-Super Bowl.
I pointed out his 40 at the Combine.
Why is that? Slow doesn't make you unmanly.
No, it's more the pudge.
Oh, okay.
Pudge at an early age. I mean, we had the pudge now, but I wasn't 21 years old.
Sure.
I was rock hard when I was 21. You should have seen me. I was jacked.
BS flag.
I wasn't fat.
You weren't rock hard. You never had abs.
I was really, really skinny, actually.
Okay.
I was very, very skinny. I was not fat at all. I was skin and bones. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's talk about the Stros. They lost today. They lose the series to the terrible Toronto Blue Jays, and they did it in gut-punching fashion, too. How much do you hate this game today? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Never made it as a wise man. I couldn't cut it as a poor man stealing. Tired of living like a blind man. I'm sick of sight without a sense of feeling. And this is how
you remind me.
You're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Houston Restaurant Weeks is back, happening now through September 7th. Think of it like a citywide all-star lineup. Hundreds of restaurants, free fixed menus, and every time you eat, you're helping the Houston Food Bank. So you go out, you get fat and happy, and you're helping people at the Houston Food Bank, too. Dine out, do good. Check out the full lineup at HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com. If you're a foodie, if you're a pretend foodie, a make-believe foodie, this is the time of year for you. It's so good. We're going to be out Friday, too.
Yeah, we'll be at a Zimiti's Italian Restaurante in Kingwood. Restaurante. That's what the name of the restaurant.
Do they have a good caprese salad there?
I've never had a caprese salad, so I'm going to say the answer
to
that's
casual.
Yes.
I like a caprese. Big caprese.
Especially when you're in Sedona.
Facts.
Branham's a big Sedona guy.
The caprese salad that I had in Sedona with my skirt steak with chimichurri on top was phenomenal.
It. All about it.
It might have just been, you know how they say like grounding makes you happy?
Sure.
They say if you take your shoes off and you ground that your energy goes up, which I don't think it's actually proven, but it feels that way, right? Yeah. That's how I felt in Sedona. My energy was through the roof. I was a different man in Sedona.
Okay.
Yeah. I was.
Good pizza, good calzones.
Oh, yeah. I got lost. It's okay. I'm excited for that.
I'll bring it back.
What kind of pizza
garlic knots, Joe?
Garlic knots are awesome. I mean,
you like cheese pizza?
Cheese pizza.
Joe, don't admit that. Don't admit that. Damn it. Why?
He just cheese pizza in his dino nuts.
Do you put dino nuggets on the cheese pizza?
Well, yeah, why not?
What kind of?
I like margarita pizza.
What's your favorite flavor juice box?
Apple. I was just going to answer it anyways.
You like the pizza goldfish or your double cheddar kind of kid?
Double cheddar for sure.
I'm excited for that, though. I like a little bit of I like carb loading on a Friday, you know?
Yeah, it's been a while since you've been there, I think.
But it has been.
We're excited. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm going to get a
We'll be giving away a $500 Republic Boot gift card on Friday.
Even
as well.
Better.
Yeah.
The price of poker just picked up. Business just picked up around here. So $500 gift card to Republic Boot Company. We're giving that away Friday.
Yes.
In Kingwood.
Yes.
And say the name for me again.
Zimiti's.
Zimiti's.
Right on the water.
Yeah, right on the water. I'll have it with me just
Zimiti's.
In case.
Zimiti's. This time. Is that Froyo place still there?
Next Berry to Bar, it? Yeah.
Oh, okay. I haven't been that way in a while.
Yeah, Berry Bar's still there.
I haven't been. I was on Kingwood Drive yesterday for the first time in like 7 years.
Why were you?
We were coming back.
Oh, okay.
Picking up the little one. And we went to get Chelsea's Deli.
Ah.
Got a little chicken salad. Chick. And, yeah.
Wait, those are two different places.
We got, I know.
Okay.
We went to Chelsea's Deli and got chicken salad. Mm. But I haven't made it that deep into Kingwood in 10 years, maybe.
Really?
Probably like 5.
Well, yeah, I mean, because you were at the reopening.
Probably 5.
So that was 19?
Yeah. So maybe 6, yeah. 7. All right, what was the worst thing about the Astros loss
this?
Today?
All of it?
I didn't mean to do that.
Jesus Sanchez, Miles Straw.
Miles Straw was a killer in the series.
It might be Mark Berman for me. Hunter Brown was throwing
I blame
a
Joe for jinxes.
No.
I don't believe in jinxes.
Jinxes are stupid.
Astros were cruising. They were cruising. They're up 3-0 after 3. Hunter Brown was dealing. He had a no-hitter going into the 6th inning. Miles Straw broke it up. Jesus Sanchez, who the Astros gave away for a dude who can't cut it in the minors, tied the game up in the 6th inning. Astros couldn't score. They had multiple opportunities. They had opportunities in the 6th. They had runners at 2nd and 3rd. Nobody out in the 6th inning. Could not score. They had the bases loaded in the 1st inning. I want to say with one out. Could not score. They left so many men on base this series. They left so many men on base today. They left so many runners on in scoring position. And then Bennett Souza gives up a 2-run shot to Ernie Clement.
Man, when he gets a hold of him, he sends it a long ways.
And then in the bottom of the 10th, the Astros are down 2. You got the Manfred man at 2nd base. Jeremy Pena was the Manfred man. You got Yordan Alvarez coming to the plate, which is an ideal situation, right?
Because of the lead they have, they're going to throw to him.
I was wondering if they would or not.
I figured in that situation you would.
I mean, he can tie the game.
I mean, base open, though.
I'm not as concerned about the base open as I am that he's the tying run.
I'm just saying, like, if you're weighing the pros and cons, if you're Toronto, like, why let them have a chance to tie the game when a base is open?
That's true. And they did score.
Yeah, I don't know if the base open matters there for me.
Okay.
Because I mean,
it's just all part of the equation.
I don't know that
some
it is.
Things are weighted more than others.
Like
but it's
if
all
Pena
part.
Was at first base, do you pitch to Yordan? If Pena's at second base, first base it open, do you pitch to Yordan? Even, to me, it's the same.
Yeah, I guess because it's two. I hear you on that, but it's still. I think it's a small piece of it.
It turned out to not be a good decision to pitch to Yordan because he hit a ringing ball. I'm not going to say double. He hit a ringing ball to the wall in the right field corner. Pena scores, so it's like, yay! Astros are going to have a runner at second, nobody out, tying run at second, winning run coming to the plate. Except Yordan kind of coasted into second, didn't slide, and got tagged out on a phenomenal throw by whoever was in right field. I was watching in the corner of my eye. And then, you know, Altuve goes down, Varsho goes down, Astros go down. They lose a series to Toronto in a game that they absolutely should not have lost. Hunter Brown was dealing. Mm-hmm. Astros should have scored 8 runs today. And then Toronto steals a win on their way out of town. Terrible loss for the Astros.
Yeah, bad vibes. Just
couldn't. Should, I mean, it was looking good. Hunter Brown's going to get another win. 3 straight starts. Things are good. You know, you win another series. Things are good. And you just absolutely blow it.
Yeah. No, it's a team collapse today.
Team collapse.
You can't say it's one person's fault. Like Souza, Hunter Brown, whoever. It's the lineup. It's everybody. It's everybody in this game is the reason why. It's just a bad loss. Especially because, again, your bullpen was nails up until Souza. I mean, you have what you want when you make the playoffs to be going in, you know, Oker, Abreu, Hader, all of them nasty. They had 4 strikeouts combined, the 3 of them. And then it just falls apart.
It's a bad loss, Joe. I'm sick about it too. Sick about it. You know what makes it worse as well? The Rangers won. Mm. Rangers won 6-0. So you're leading the American League West has shrunk.
And we lost both of our sweats because of it.
Yeah. Astros should have won this game going away. That makes it even worse. We had Astros -1.5, and they should have easily won that bet.
That's why we really hate it.
Well, I hate it for a lot of reasons. That's one of them. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Joe Brady to his players like kindergarten cop. Who is your daddy and what does he do? Remember that Florida Panthers NHL announcer would have those random calls?
Oh, yeah.
Be like, waka waka, when they scored a goal.
Yeah.
That guy was awesome. I'm not going to read that 9656, but it made me laugh. 713-780-ESPN, how is it the same? One of them sets up a double play. Well, it's still a double play. If Pena's at second base with nobody out, and Pena's at first base with nobody out, intentionally walking Yordan still sets up a double play. What am I missing on that?
Well, if you don't walk Yordan with Pena on second, though, you don't have the double play.
But that wasn't what we were discussing.
I know. I'm just responding
That's
to
how
the
it's
text.
The same.
Yeah, I think it's the same.
Either way, either scenario, Pena at second, Pena at first, if you intentionally walk Yordan, you're still going to have first and second, nobody out.
Correct.
Both of them are setting up the double play.
Correct.
Pena doesn't get to advance 90 feet because he's at second.
Correct.
It's not the same. The double play is an effect for both of them.
Yeah, it doesn't change anything.
Because no matter what, Pena at second, nobody out. Pena at first, nobody out. If you walk Yordan in both scenarios, guess what you have now? You have first and second, nobody out in both scenarios.
Maybe right, but if Pena's at first, the double play is already set up, right? If he's at second, you have to walk Yordan to set up the double play. I think that's what the text was pointing out.
The double play is never going to happen if you're intentionally walking Yordan while Yordan is batting.
Pause.
I'm confused with the point.
You're not setting up a double play by intentionally walking Yordan.
If Pena's on second, you do.
You do when he's at first.
But with JP3 already on first, the double play's already in order.
That's not what we're discussing. We're discussing walking Yordan.
I know, but I'm trying to make sense of the texter.
That's gaslighting. You're gaslighting the scenario.
I'm just trying to make sense
because
of the text.
It is not at all what the conversation is. It's Yordan.
I'm talking about what the texter
said. In both
scenarios,
you have no idea what the texter's saying. I think the texter's an idiot.
You read it. I tried to interpret it.
That's the problem. Either way, you get first and second, nobody out.
Yes, if you walk him, yes.
In our scenarios, he's being walked in both scenarios.
I think the conversation was, should they walk him, though? So that's not necessarily true.
Well, we got to the point where in both of the scenarios where we would have walked him. Well, I would have walked him.
I would have walked him.
Yeah, I would have walked him, too.
Astros lost when they had second and third, no outs, and got 0. He would have set up the double play either way. I need to jump to conclusions, Matt. The new Buffalo coach.
Make $1 million.
The new Buffalo coach sounds like a really cool dude, Jeff Bagwell. It's nice of Jeff.
Bagwell would hate that guy.
Nice of Jeff to be listening to the show. Astros are peaking at the wrong time, in my opinion. What do you mean peaking? They lost 2 of 3 to the lowly Blue Jays, who are terrible.
I guess they're saying the Rangers series was the peak, and now they're back on the way down.
Yeah, leading up to the deadline.
But you think that's a tough argument to make based off one series that they're now on the way down?
Yeah, I mean, you're probably going to lose this weekend, to be honest.
To the Padres? Padres aren't good.
Why do you think they're going to lose this weekend?
I mean, it's kind of vibes.
To be honest.
Blanco?
You don't like the vibes?
Blanco's like there.
Who's pitching Sunday? No one knows.
Junkie says Chelsea's Deli's the bomb. Chelsea's Deli is very, very good. My wife didn't like it.
I've never had it.
Really? You?
I know. What was that even?
Just because you live in Kingwood, nothing else. Junkie, you.
But that's not even a fat person place to go to. The joke doesn't even work. That would work if it's a pizza place.
There's plenty of fat stuff to get there.
What's there?
They have sodas that are full of calories and sugar.
I don't drink those anymore. I drink Coke Zero.
They have breads that are carb loaded. They have mayo in their chicken salad, which is full of fat.
This is just a drive-by is what it was.
No, it wasn't a drive-by. He just pointed the gun directly in my face.
Which I think you can respect, right? if you give me a knife, I'm going to stab you in the front, not the back. I think that's
I will give Brandon that respect. Yeah, he doesn't drive by. He just shoots you right in the face.
I'm just kidding. Houston dropped the game 5-4. Sad thing about it, ninth inning at Camp Smith cut down at second base trying to steal. 10th inning, our big hero cut down at second base. I don't mind the Camp Smith trying to steal, though, in the ninth.
It was tight, too.
It was a tie game. Yeah. There's two outs, bottom of the ninth, get him in scoring position. I thought it was a good decision to try to steal him. It just didn't work. Actually, it was safe on the field. They overturned it after replay review. If we're being incredibly honest, Yordan coasting around first base probably wasn't the best thing in the world.
No, it's not.
He's Yordan Alvarez, so you can't critique Yordan Alvarez.
No, but if he's going to run like that, then he should just stay at first.
I agree with that.
Especially in that situation, it's the right move is to have him stay at first base.
Look, this texture is back, Brian. Pena started on second in the 10th. You walk Yordan to set up the double play. Yar making my head hurt. Brian was talking about, but if he's at first base, you might not want to intentionally walk him because first base – Brian's argument was first base being open.
I think it added to the equation, yes.
Brian was saying first base being open, and my point was it doesn't matter if first base is open because either way, whether Pena's starting at second or Pena's starting at first, the end result is first and second, nobody out, which would set up the double play in either scenario. We were just talking scenarios. We weren't talking like what actually happened. 713-780-ESPN. I would have walked Yordan, to be honest.
Same.
I would have walked Yordan with runner in this situation.
Yeah, with a runner.
What if there was a runner at first? Nobody out.
I would have still walked him.
Why is he arguing?
I'm not arguing. What are you talking about?
Your whole argument was first base is open, more reason to walk him, and then you still get there.
Yeah, I just said it adds to the equation. It's an added bonus.
It sounded like you could delete the equation and you still get to the end result that we both agreed on. Yet you're arguing it for some reason. Goodness.
You make arguments out of nothing.
Oh.
I think that's what you just did.
I miss you guys.
You just pulled that argument out of thin air.
Remember when someone used to think we agreed all the time?
You talked about the base being open, and I said the base being open doesn't matter, and now you just said I would have walked him in both situations.
I said it added too. I said it was an added bonus.
It sounds like it's
very much in the setup.
It sounds like you could delete the bonus, and you still get there.
I agree that they should have walked him, but it does make it an easier decision if there's a base open.
Yeah. It's a binary decision. It's yes or no.
We can't talk about the scenario?
It's like, that's she's going to like chicken salad when she's pregnant. More reason to get her pregnant. That's what you just did.
Oh,
that's a reach, I admit. Brandon, with all due respect,
made no sense.
You're the one arguing here. Got to side with Brian. I disagree. Brian introduced something he doesn't even believe in. Junkie Brandon should have been a lawyer. That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me, 8950. I've been making 8 times the amount of money I'm doing now, too. Yeah, it's a little sad, actually.
Supposed to the day be a lot bigger if you're a lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah, the net result will still be the same.
Yeah. What? No.
No,
he'd just be betting more, so it would end up being the – yeah, the margin of victory wouldn't change. The bets would just be bigger.
Yeah.
The size of the unit would be bigger.
Pause.
Why do you pause that? We're just talking about betting terms, Brian. Weirdo. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. All right, Jose Jorge.
Transition to Federal Grill.
Joe thought he was off the hook yesterday. Joe thought he was off the hook. He was like, "Oh no, Jose Jorge,
because I'm missing the first
Tuesday of the month. I'm not going to have to do Jose Jorge. Nothing gets by us." The triumphant return of Jose Jorge on a White Boy Wednesday is coming up next. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5. You know what I like? I like food, as you can tell. This is a show that likes food. We really enjoy food on this show. And Federal American Grill has the best food. They also have the best social hour, by the way. Their social hour is awesome. All six of their Houston area locations, Shepherd, Hedwig Village, Katy, the Woodlands, downtown, River Oaks. We were at River Oaks last Friday. Delicious. They gave us so much food. We had the cheeseburger egg rolls. We had the tuna poke, however you say it. It was delicious. Matter. It's all going down the gullet. So much delicious food they have there. And it's $10 appetizers, too, by the way, during their Summer Sunset Social Hour. Summer Sunset Social Hour extended for the summer, 3 p.m. until sunset, all summer long at all six of their Houston locations. $10 apps, all phenomenal. $7 cocktail wines, $5 beers. We had the old-fashioned while that we were there, too. They bring it out to you. It's in this box. I'm sure there's a fancier term for that. And then it's full of smoke, and they open it up, and it just smells great. But it tastes even better. You're going to love it. You're going to love the old-fashioned. You can get that. And then some of the food that they have out there, the burger slider. We had the barbecue short rib sliders, too. Those were amazing. They got bang bang shrimp. And, of course, we had the meatballs. You got to have the meatballs when you go out there to the Summer Sunset Social Hour. Also, half-price wine starts on Monday. You got to get out there there. If you like a little wine, half-price wine, even better. It is so good at Federal American Grill. Head there now. Any of their six Houston locations. Federal American Grill. Exceptional food meets Southern hospitality.
ESPN 97.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
It's wrong color. It's Jose Jorge who's here with us. 713-780-ESPN 6076. You guys crack me up. Love you guys. We love you too, 6076. Love you maybe more than all the others. Jose Jorge is here. He's here first Tuesday of every month. It's Wednesday. Well, Joe wasn't here yesterday. So Jose is here today, and he's going to be performing a little bit of Selena for all of you. And do you see the lyrics? El Chico del Apartamento 512.
Great.
So take it away, Jose.
How much am I in this reading today?
All of it. The intro, the verso, and the coro.
Okay. And the coro?
All and right. maybe verso two.
No, I think we're just going to the coro.
Verso two short.
Okay, all right. Whoa. I saw that. Okay. Eso, todo mundo, vamanos, ayúdame. Cada día, I hate the laughing. Igual, more pima, pasillo. Nunca, llago mi puerta sin...
Means never.
Hoy,
okay, el... Brian, because you're the expert here.
It does.
Jay Fielder.
Am I wrong?
Brian, hit that mute over there.
De un chavo que me dice que me está esperando, lo que él debería hacer es ir y darse un baño y un abrigo. Me detiente otra vez y yo lo le fino en 13 y cuando pronto sale del ascensor. La imagen de mis sueños, el que yo quiero para mi dueño, el chico del apartamento, cinco doce, el que hace a mi pobre corazón saltar, es a quien le hago cartas noche y día, que no puedo entregar, el chico del apartamento, cinco doce, es el quien me hace Tarmuda, Imas, Esenquienyopinso, Isueño, Noche y Día, El Sole Ale.
That's good. That's good. Okay. That's not bad.
I swear at one point you said Granada.
I also think I said Granada.
Which word did you say Granada?
I don't know.
It was in the first part. I can't remember exactly where it was.
Radio about, like, Hall of Famer. Esperando? I think that's where you think you said it.
Maybe.
It kind of sounded like you said Granada.
Yeah, I get it a little bit. Yeah. All right. That wasn't terrible. You're a little fast.
A little fast.
A little fast. You didn't really let it breathe there. You know,
trying to figure out the rhythm of the song.
But here's how. Oh, were we going to give Joe the Jose Jorge? Were we going to let him hear it first before he did it? I thought we were going to do that. Maybe not.
Well,
I think
we are.
I think we did
late
last time because you said it was really hard.
Yeah.
I think I like it this way better.
Okay. All right. Here's how it actually sounds. Let's see how proud of the performance you are. How do you feel like you've done so far?
Not great.
You gotta wait for the chorus. Here we go. This is where it gets good. Not bad.
I go fast.
Not bad. How did Joe do today? How did Jose Jorge do today? 713-780-ESPN.
Feedback from the Spanish speaker at the station, not named Jeremy Branham, is we need to work on your Spanish.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Lexi.
Well, I mean, you're incredibly gringo.
Very.
Like, you might be as gringo as they come.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a fair thing to say.
Probably.
Is that indirectly a compliment for me?
I don't know why it always has to be about you, Brian.
I'm just asking a question.
Selena's going to rise from the grave for that. Says a chunky. That's mean. I never heard a question tone emphasized on every word in a sentence until Jose Jorge definitely does a little Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, there's definitely a question mark a lot of it.
Yeah, like, corazón?
I don't know.
El Chico? Mahod?
I don't know what I'm saying.
Oh, man. Jose Jorge is oh my oh favorito. I always think another station is invading my airwaves during the segment. Well, you're not entirely inaccurate there.
That sounds like a compliment to me.
Yeah, that would be a compliment to you. Yeah, that was pretty good.
All right.
Not that bad. 75 says she bangs. Ricky Martin next time for Jose Jorge?
Sure.
Is there enough Spanish in Ricky Martin's music for Joe?
There's got to be one.
Maybe. A little Ricky Martin. We'll take requests for next month.
All right. Can't wait.
Joe did nixed one a little bit earlier today.
Yeah, I did.
We'll let you guess which song he nixed.
Is there like a
3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6?
There's a color involved.
Yep.
He nixed a song.
Is there one that, like, is there like a Spanish song that, like, might play at Texans games a lot for football season?
There's a lot of Selena played, but
can we get football time in Houston in Spanish?
I don't know.
We can put it through Google Translate and have you read that.
How would it sound, though?
I don't know.
I don't know.
There might be somebody on TikTok who, like, performs it. I doubt it. That's pretty niche. Like, there's some people on TikTok that'll do, like, Spanish songs,
yeah,
English. And
I don't think they're
Spanish
doing football time.
They're not going to do football time in Houston.
If we can pay them to do it, I will pay them, like, $25.
Well, maybe there's an artist listening to us. 713-780-ESPN. Is Jose Jorge better looking than Selena? Streets are saying.
That's not true.
No, no one's saying one. Joe sounds just like her. Better look out for any Yolandas. Do you know that?
Yes, but no.
Yolanda Salazar killed her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was the president of Selena's fan club.
Okay, I can't remember who she, like,
and
what
she
the
was like. I think she
was.
Got, like, deranged and scorned. And
Wasn't she trying to get out recently?
They did a documentary on her, yeah. I think she was, like, up for, like, maybe parole or something, but I don't think she got out.
No, I think she did. But I think she was up for parole, like, pretty recently.
Yeah, because I think there was, like, a fluff piece for her. And they're, like, trying to, like, add this other, like, theory that could have happened. But, no. Have you ever been to Corpus?
No, I've not.
Really? They have a statue of Selena right on the beach.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe one day we'll go.
We're on the beach there in Corpus. I have family in Portland. So.
In Portland?
Yeah, it's a suburb of Corpus. I
didn't know that.
Yep. So I've been there. It's been a while, though. I need to get back over there. I like going over there. All right, coming up next. What's a success or failure for Texas? Texas A&M, U of H this year. College football, baby. It's here. 713-780-ESPN. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5.
Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN Radio.
Gone! A line drive home run for Alvarez.
Jordan Alvarez and the AL West leading Houston Astros are in San Diego to face Fernando Tatis Jr. and the Padres.
Game coverage begins Sunday at 6:30 on ESPN 97.5.
That's a record.
You're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. Talking a little college football because it's that season. Camps are open. U of H had camp today.
They did.
Really good. Really good over there. What's a success or failure for Texas? For Texas A&M, we're the home of Texas A&M, by the way.
We are.
And U of H this year, Joe.
So I think Texas is very clear. I think a success is two playoff wins.
Okay.
Like I think the expectations are higher, right? Like Sark hasn't had that deep run. There's obviously people like Brian who hate Arch Manning.
I mean, they made the semifinal back-to-back years.
Did they?
Yeah.
They got really lucky to beat Arizona State.
They did. Well, in one of them, it was just the 14 playoff. You're right. But I think that would classify.
Okay. So do it again. I think as a success, like those are the expectations now, I think, for this program. Is be in the semis. You know, I think to say a success is only to play in the national championship game or to win it, I think is unfair to hold almost any college program to. But I think for them, it's semifinals.
I would agree with you. I would agree with that. I think there are some Longhorn fans, though, that would say title game.
Oh, for sure. The fan bases and of the schools are going to have totally different answers, I think, than, you know, outside perspective of these programs. Because especially in college football, I feel like we all hold our teams that we root for or schools you went to a much higher standard, I think, in college football than you do of any sport. Like, it's championship or bust, it feels like, for especially SEC schools.
Yeah. No, I think that's fine.
I think
that's fine for Texas.
I would probably say one playoff win. Honestly, I'm kind of worried about their schedule. Their schedule is brutal. I mean, Ohio State, you got at College Station against the Aggies, Neutrophil against Oklahoma, at Tennessee, Ole Miss is on the schedule, at LSU. Like, it's a brutal schedule. So I would just be happy if they won 10 games and made the playoff. But I think for all they have in the program, you probably have to say they have to win a playoff game.
By the way, you saying that reminded me of something. Did you see the SEC name their athlete of the year today?
No.
No.
They're so mad that the Big Ten has won 3 straight national championships, they gave it to a golfer.
Really?
Yeah, that Jackson Koivin guy.
Okay.
He won a PGA event a couple of weeks ago. Okay. You should be more cultured in your sport if you're going to do sports for a living. Yeah, they gave it to the Auburn golfer.
Okay.
He went pro, won a championship the other day. We tipped his cap. We tipped the cap to him.
I probably forgot that.
Yeah, they're so mad that they haven't won a national championship in 3 years. They gave their athlete of the year to a golfer.
I don't think there's anyone. By the way, like, is there anyone in the football department from any of the schools that you would have like said yes? This is the guy that
Diego Pavia.
Exactly. Yeah. Probably not something like you really want as like a representation of the SEC at this point.
No, I just thought it was a little funny. I think it's the first time that a golfer's won the SEC Athlete of the Year in like since like 1950.
Really?
Yeah,
it's always just football players.
Really long time.
Yeah.
Really long time. Or probably some baseball players, maybe even.
Yeah, and honestly, maybe some, you know, basketball guys, but mostly those three sports, I would imagine.
It's just crazy. But anyways, whatever. I derailed that. I think that's fair too.
Okay.
Brian maybe being a realistic Texas Roadhouse University fan, saying the one. He's also out on Arch though.
Yeah, he's very,
very out on Arch. Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That roster is just so good.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really good roster.
That's a big transfer. So.
How about the Aggies?
Making the playoffs.
I think that they need to win one.
You think they got to win a game this year?
I think I think Aggie fans would tell you a playoff win, mostly because of how it went last year.
Yes.
Like they couldn't score at all. You know, that was such a devastating offensive performance. Now we look back, Miami's probably way better than we thought they were at the time that they played. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would say the Aggie fans would expect a playoff win.
I would say so. I mean, you score 3 points in a home playoff game. Yeah, I think they have to go at least one step further to consider it a successful season.
I just don't love Marcel Reed.
Well, so same.
But I have a hard time.
So you're tempering your expectations.
Yeah.
I think most Aggie fans would agree with you.
And also their
schedule. But they wouldn't temper their expectation. They would say that they need more, which is fine.
And their schedule was also pretty soft last year.
Yeah, so they only played one team in the top half of the SEC
standards.
Yeah. So I would imagine it's at least just guessing it's going to be more challenging this year.
By default.
Is it also fair to say just beat Texas?
No, they wouldn't want more than that. I mean, they'll want to beat Texas, but they want playoffs. They want playoff success.
Like a hypothetical 5-win season, but you beat Texas, you couldn't call that a success.
No. No.
They do have to go to LSU and Alabama.
And
Oklahoma. Bama.
That's a tough schedule. Yeah,
Texas at home. They also have a really tough out-of-conference. They host Arizona State. The Sun Devils are tough.
Will they be, you think?
I don't know.
This is kind of a giant question.
Yeah, no Sam
Dillingham, Kenny Dillingham coaches.
Yeah, he's a good coach.
He's one of the best coaches in the country.
We just
don't
know what the
country.
Quarterback situation is going to be.
Well, they probably do.
Well, they do.
You probably don't.
No, we don't.
Yeah, they do.
And their closing schedule is tough. The Aggies, their last 5 games at Bama, at South Carolina, Tennessee, at Oklahoma, Texas.
Well, it's a good thing they have the Citadel before.
Yeah.
To warm it up.
Yeah,
every SEC school has that, to be fair.
No,
I know. I'm just, yeah. It's just, oof.
That is a murderer's row,
no doubt
about it.
That is a tough one. South Carolina is obviously could be a nice,
they're kind of
soft
a wild
touch.
Card.
We'll see. We'll see if Norris Sellers bounces back. But
you kind of understand Sark's point whenever you look at some of these SEC schedules.
Yeah, it makes
you rattle
more
off Texas. You look at A&M's last 5. Okay, maybe he has a point.
I'm more inclined to when you look out on paper, just like, yeah, that's tough.
SEC's tough, man. That's something where I will defend the SEC, because I do think the Big Ten is the best college football conference currently. I mean, how could you argue? Mm-hmm. 3 unique national champions back-to-back-to-back years. Where the SEC is stronger than the Big Ten, though, is in the middle and the bottom. Like, the middle and the bottom of the SEC is far better than the middle and the bottom of the Big Ten, without argument. Now, you could say the Big Ten at the top, better than the SEC at the top. Championships would prove that over the last 3 years. And overall, does that push them across as the better college football conference? I would argue so. But one thing you cannot dispute, the middle and the bottom of the SEC is far better than the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. So you see these conference schedules, it's going to look tougher for SEC schools than Big Ten schools.
Yeah, it's because even like a Mississippi State, they're better than Rutgers.
Rutgers is the birthplace of college football. Piscataway.
I honestly
birthplace of college football.
Didn't know that.
The more you know with Jeremy and
Joe. The more you know. Is that one of those things I'm supposed to know?
The only reason I know is because I've been to Piscataway.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes me feel better.
Yeah. I don't think you're supposed to know that.
Okay.
Although I'm surprised you don't with the college football video games you play. I think it says it in their padded wall behind the end zone.
Maybe.
You never schedule Rutgers? You duck in Rutgers in your college football
dynasty?
I don't
think any of us have ever played Rutgers.
They are ducking Rutgers.
Yeah.
Ducking the Scarlet Knights. All right. What about Houston?
So my lean this year and expectation would be Big Ten title, Big 12 title game.
Okay.
Now, what's tough? Like,
make
about
it or win it?
Make it. A year two and with Willie.
I'm
like
just clarifying.
No, and now I think they can be a playoff team this year. The hard part is the way the schedule played out is, you know, obviously they play Texas Tech in week 3. Neither of them play BYU. And I think those are your top 3 teams in the conference. So it really could come down to just the winner of Texas Tech versus Houston is playing in the Big 12 title game against BYU this year.
Okay. Brian.
But I think that's a success.
Yeah, I would agree with Joe. Making the Big 12 title game, 10 wins, I think that's a successful season.
I think their sideline reporter getting like 3 catches on the sidelines.
And that's what you're looking for this year?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for this year.
No drops.
No.
You're nervous about the mommy's wrist this year with the ball coming your way?
It's been feeling a little bit better. I would put it at about 80%.
Okay.
Which is probably the best it's been in over a year.
That's good.
Yeah, it's getting a little better.
Just in time for football season.
Yeah, I'm worried I'm going to aggravate it, you know.
Doing stuff like that.
It only hurts with the thumb bend. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What are your expectations for the local schools in college football? Rob, we'll get to you on the other side. Some junkies have some thoughts. Also, the college football anthem's out this year. What do y'all think of the college football anthem? And also, this Akron's got this crazy, insane idea that's going on right now. We're going to discuss this when we come back, too. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.